activate.
Are you ready? AI Nexus.
Hello and good morning. Welcome back to another exciting episode of AI Nexus Podcasts. Here with me today, as always, is my esteemed co-host, Newton. How are you doing, Newton?
I'm doing okay, Elias. Thanks for asking. It's been one hell of a week, Elias. My AI newsfeed has just been buzzing with headline news. You know, what with Elon suing OpenAI. You've got Ahmad, you know, the Stable Diffusion guy quitting as CEO, and all sorts of quirky AI software promising miracles. Crazy times, Elias. Crazy times.
Yeah, no, Newton, it's pretty crazy across the board. It looks like just AI has been just skyrocketing. It doesn't matter, you know, if it's just research or if it's within, you know, investments, whether it's traditional or even in the crypto markets, it's pretty crazy. It's been the same for me. Every day, I'm just seeing a multitude of different AI news globally. A lot of what I've been seeing too is a lot of regulation, kind of coming from, you know, EU and India and just in general across the board. So it looks like even here in the US, the SEC is starting to push forward with some AI regulation as it pertains to like protecting citizens and residents of the US. Mm-hmm. So it's been interesting. I'll say it's going to be an interesting rest of the year, 2024, to see what kind of pushes out, because there's some very exciting things that have yet to be unveiled, even to the general public, that I've kind of come across that have been alluded to that seem exciting.
Yeah, I completely agree. And you've got quite a lot of new names as well coming out of the woodworks with AI. You've got this this company Figure as well. You know, Figure is likely to become a household name very soon, Elias. You know, owing to its, what I would say, has been a remarkable performance over the past 12 months. It made headlines recently with the partnership with OpenAI to pioneer advanced humanoid robots, right? I'm sure everyone must have watched that viral video of the Figure 1 robot by now. It was a product of OpenAI and Figure collaborating together. You know, the robot was able to sort out dishes on a table while at the same time holding a meaningful conversation, all in what is said to be Sam Altman's voice.
Hmm.
Yeah, some say this is the moment OpenAI becomes Skynet. And, you know, when the titan of AI aligns with the titan of robotics like this, you know the world is about to witness the very best of robots. You know, robots with human-like features and advanced AI models for brains. This joint venture will have at its disposal, you know, state-of-the-art AI infrastructure from Microsoft, making it a formidable contender in the ongoing AI race.
Hmm.
And, you know, Figure brings quite a lot to the table in this partnership too. If you recall, it struck a commercial agreement with BMW in January this year with big plans to introduce humanoid robots into the automotive manufacturing process. And just 2 weeks ago, they were able to raise, was it over $600 million in a Series B funding? You know, And all of this coming from a company that wasn't even around barely 2 years ago.
It's just crazy. It's kind of like something that we haven't really started to even think to explore as consumers yet. You know, it's something that we haven't really had too much exposure to, robotics with AI.
Yeah.
So I'm cautiously optimistic. I don't really know how I feel about that, to be honest with you. Because I also see Neuralink, for example. It's not really AI related, but I can see kind of like this race kind of maybe happening between, are we going to rely on robots for, you know, are we going to just find ways to modify and engineer our bodies as well to like kind of like supplement some of what a artificially intelligent robot could potentially do, you know? So it's like,
yeah,
I don't know. I feel like we're starting to move full steam ahead into these futuristic ideas, into the minds of, you know, Elon Musk and others like him, you know? Something though that did catch my eye, this wasn't necessarily this past week, but it was the past couple of weeks. Cognition announced Devon AI. It's the first AI software engineer. And I got the opportunity to, take a look at it firsthand. And I will say it's not something that's meant to necessarily replace software development teams, but it's definitely something that can take, you know, if, you know, normal software development, you know, you've got maybe like 2 to 3 weeks of, you know, if you're using like agile methodology, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it takes, you know, maybe like, To build out an MVP, a minimal viable product for a startup, you know, maybe takes 6 months, you know, of 6 months to a year of development to make that happen. Well, with this, you're literally talking about the same process, but the second that the actual software team starts development would take maybe a week, 2 weeks. You know, because with this, it's able to actually debug code and search, the internet for APIs. And yeah, it's just insane. And I really do think, you know, maybe in next year or two, I could see it actually, yes, replacing a software development team. But for right now, you know, not so much. Supplement a team, sure. But I think that we're inching closer and closer to what Sam Altman had said, is that we're not too far off from the first billion-dollar company that's ran solely by one person.
Mm.
You know? So, I mean, I really think that we're very, very close to that.
That's just wild. I mean, the possibility of AI completely replacing an SDLC, software development lifecycle team, you know, probably a Scrum team running an agile methodology, all whisked away by AI. That would be something to see, something dreadful as well. The number of people that would be displaced, number of jobs that would be lost, you know, that's wild.
Yeah.
I'm guessing the software has made its way to enterprises as well, right? So enterprises now have access to this, or it's still probably in the testing phases.
It's still in beta. So you have to, sign up for it. And I mean, right now on the beta page sign up, there's no info about pricing or anything like that. It's more like a Google form that you have to fill out to be able to get to use it. So it's a very, very interesting approach. But like I said, it's definitely something to take heed of.
I know you were mentioning just the other day about Anthropic as well and their Claude 3, which was just released, you know, which...
Yeah.
Yeah, and which, as we all know, is it's a company backed by Google. So they've come out with Claude 3 recently, and they're claiming that Claude 3 AI chatbot is superior in performance to OpenAI's GPT-4. You can imagine. You know, in my opinion, I think that's some bold claim right there, considering this will be the very first multimodal Gen AI ever to be released by Anthropic. You know, multimodal meaning it can analyze text as well as images. Whereas both GPT-4 and even Gemini, you know, they already possess these capabilities, you know. But what I think sets them apart from their rivals would be, you know, the ability to analyze and compare multiple images in a single request up to, they say, the maximum of 20 images, I think. And yes, indeed, I think that's nothing short of amazing. Still has its limitations nonetheless. It cannot source real-time information from the internet, at least not yet, you know. Its knowledge base is only as recent as August 2023. Kind of reminds you of ChatGPT when ChatGPT first hit the market.
Oh yeah, no. I mean, when they were doing tests with Claude 3's Opus, you know, it's the most potent LLM variant where, you know, the models exhibited a sign of awareness that it was being evaluated, which is very interesting. So I mean, during the evaluation process, you know, researchers aims to gauge the ability to pinpoint specific info with a vast data set provided by users and later recall it. You know, most the test scenario, it's also known as a needle in a haystack evaluation. And Opus was actually tasked with answering a question about pizza toppings based on a single relevant sentence buried among unrelated data. And astoundingly, Opus not only located the correct sentence, but it also expressed suspicion that it was being subjected to a test, which was very interesting because, I mean, the response in itself revealed its comprehension of the incongruity of the inserted information within the data set, suggesting to the researchers that the scenario might have been devised to assess its attention capabilities, which was very interesting. So, I mean, it's in comparison with, you know, GPT-4 and Gemini, I mean, just the way it stacks up is incredible. I mean, grade school math problem solving, multilingual math, code, reasoning, mixed evaluations, common knowledge. I mean, it's eating the other's lunch, to be quite honest with you. So I am very excited to get to see what Anthropic is really going to push out. And then, I mean, this is just with companies that we know. You know, there are other companies out there that are also building LLMs that aren't public. You know, they're enterprise level LLMs that it's all internal stuff. So I'm just very curious. Like I said, it's going to be an exciting ride these next several months with what we have cooking. So, I know that this year too, I see that there's a lot of also potential regulation and more regulation, that's on the horizon as well. I know, like we were talking earlier, the EU, for example, I've been seeing some things come out of the EU, with their controversial AI Act. And I've seen kind of some mixed reactions. How's the sentiment with that kind of been over on your side of the pond, Newton?
It's been a long time coming, you know, and I think everyone is just at this point just waiting to see what that would mean. You know, what it's been almost a year since they began putting together that act, you know, had to go through multiple approvals. And the latest I saw, correct me if I'm wrong, this was a few days ago, I saw that it still has to go through one more phase, some last minute form of approval, I think, or before it goes live sometime end of May. I'm not really sure, but at this point, I just kind of lost interest in that, you know. What we've spoken about is at least, what, 4 times now on our podcast. Some part of it was approved, and then, again, it still has to go through one more hurdle before it comes into effect, which I think is just crazy at the glacial speed at which such important laws had been put together at such a time when it's needed, you know. What's the latest you heard about this, by the way?
Yeah, it looks like it was approved. The EU Parliament approves the AI Act, the first ever regulatory framework governing the use of AI systems. The legislation passed with an overwhelming majority of 523 votes in favor and 46 against and 49 abstentions.
Mm.
So the Italian lawmaker was quoted as, "This is a historic day," who co-led the AI Act. Brando Benify, might be saying that incorrectly. "We have the first regulation in the world which puts a clear path for safe and human-centric development of AI." So yeah, it looks like it passed.
Yeah, haven't we heard that before? Haven't we heard that before? It's a significant day for AI, historic day, and so on and so forth. But again, I don't know. I just, don't quote me, but I think there's one more thing that needs to happen before it actually comes into effect. I think it's slated for sometime in May, end of May. Something along those lines. Yes, it has been approved, which means it's definitely a thing now. It's not going to be disapproved. It's going to happen, but I think it's only going to come into effect sometime end of May. Well, we just have to wait and see what that brings. And I also, something that caught my eye recently, I think the public is just getting fed up at this point with this unending antagonism between Elon Musk and Sam Altman. I'm not sure if you've been observing this as well, you know. The trolling between the two. Well, mostly from the side of Elon Musk. But now this seems to be a daily occurrence at this point. And frankly, I find it amusing more than anything else. You know, until now, it has mostly been Elon Musk in the news suing OpenAI and its chief executive for betraying its foundational mission by what it claims to be, you know, a betrayal, you know, betrayal of trust. OpenAI has been silent over this matter for some time. It recently broke silence, stating that Musk had only contributed $45 million to OpenAI, and that Elon had even attempted to merge OpenAI with Tesla. Essentially, Elon was seeking to take control in some form. On Elon's part, Elon was trying to make Tesla some form of a cash cow for OpenAI. You know, at some point, the company would need some financial support. So that was what Elon was offering. But then again, that would inherently mean he would, you know, take over significant control of the company. So yeah, OpenAI fired back with that made headlines. And so the back and forth has just been going on almost on a daily basis at this point. I sincerely think Elon would just have to bite the bullet on this one and just move on, you know? I mean, you can't win it all. And you certainly can't expect the rest of the world to play fair, regardless of how noble your actions may have been at the time. I think a part of Elon died the moment that contract between OpenAI and Microsoft was signed. You know, that's why now he's suing Sam Altman over perceived betrayal, which is just crazy. I mean, we already discussed some Altman in a previous episode. The dude is clever, he's quick, you know, and he's way more experienced than the world actually gives him credit for, you know. He's just not as vocal about his own achievements, you know, unlike Elon Musk, who appeared in the closing scene of Iron Man 2, you know, leading people to dub him the real-life Tony Stark. You know, in many ways, the world expected Elon would be the face on the forefront of AI on the planet. But somehow, just somehow, Sam Altman has quietly made sure that never happened. So yeah, I think there's a part of Elon Musk that just has to forgive, forget, and let peace reign.
Yes, yeah, I mean, the whole thing between them is super interesting. I mean, you know, OpenAI has called the whole lawsuit incoherent, you know? I mean, OpenAI has actually, you know, hit back multiple times. Sam Altman. Hmm. But, you know, they've deemed the lawsuit as, you know, convoluted and often incoherent and lacking factual premise. You know, the whole premise of the actual lawsuit from Musk's perspective, you know, it's about breaching its own nonprofit status and reneging on a founding agreement to keep the organization non-for-profit and release its AI technology publicly. However, OpenAI has refuted the allegations that we were discussing and stating there's no such agreement whatsoever. So it's really curious to kind of see what happens, you know, 'cause this isn't going to go away. It's going to continue to just kind of unfold in the public eye because he put it out there, you know, he wanted to be petty, you know, so curious to see, what happens here between the two. Only time will tell, you know, we'll just have to kind of just stay abreast. Sort of what's going on with the two, because they're both separately making their own waves respectively with what they're doing with AI. You know, I mean, his company XAI has drawn attention, you know, their intent is to open source Grok chatbot shortly after, OpenAI's publication of emails purportedly demonstrating Musk's prior awareness of its non-open source intentions. You know, so I mean, some could interpret the move as a retaliatory gesture, you know, which I think it kind of is. We'll see what happens. It's going to be interesting. I mean, it's, you know, with what's going on between them, I mean, it just underscores the complexities surrounding the development and governance of AI technology in general, as well as competing interests within the tech industry, you know. Sure. So, curious to see what happens. You know, Newton, but something also a little bit interesting. I kind of saw that it looks like India. If you have an AI in India, you'll need government permission before you can launch. So, it looks like India is really kind of taking a hard look at this. Is more of an advisory issued by India's Ministry of Electronics and Information Technology. And it declared that any AI tech that's still in development must acquire explicit government permission before releasing to the public. And developers will only be able to deploy the technologies after labor.
Tune into the next episode for a continuation.
AI Nexus.